and just collapsed in my room and fell asleep because I had no energy. At that time, I was probably waking up around 5:30, 6 a.m. I would do 5Ks every day to doing 5 miles one day, and then 7, and then 10, and eventually like the 13. And I remember when I'd be at training for tennis sometimes, like taking a break, I hated taking breaks, like not moving, not doing something. I didn't like it. Even if you don't get the result that you expect to get or you want to get, that doesn't mean that it's all a waste, because part of that work is not the success I get, but the process of being that type of person who does work hard.
For this episode, I sat down with Tatiana. Tatiana is a student at the University of Florida, obtaining her master's in science and management. During this episode, Tatiana shares how she fell in love with running and how running has changed her as a person. In life, we all face challenges, some of which are within our control and some of which are not. In this episode, Tatiana also shares some of the struggles she's been dealing with and how she has worked to overcome them. This is the 6th episode of the Longevity Podcast. I hope you enjoy listening. First episode, I spoke with Melvin about the fact that it's hard for some people to realize that other people have entirely complex lives as well as the people that are observing those lives. So you can also relate this to the fact that many people think they don't necessarily have something to offer, but when they do.
Yeah. I think there's definitely like that balance of sometimes people feel normal, but then when you reflect on the outside, like each person's journey is special. And I think it's also important to find that and figure out that you are contributing something, because I think people sometimes wait, like when I have all this knowledge or when I get to this job, that's when I can start making a difference. And the idea that you can start making a difference like right now is really powerful. Yeah. And just like finding the avenues to do that. So like laying the foundation for the future,
exactly.
But also doing the things in the moment. Yeah,
exactly. Also, how beautiful is it if somebody who wants to be in that same place looking at you in the future, 10 years from now, and they manage to fall upon this archive of Tatiana in the past, who was at the building stage, listening to her and seeing a lot of commonalities. That's something that's amazing.
Yeah, that would be really cool. And if someone just hears and is, oh, that sounds cool, because it took me a while to figure out what I want to do, and I don't know if that's what I'll end up doing, but it's definitely something that interests me and helping people in a way that I'm passionate about. Yeah.
Tatiana, we've known each other ever since freshman year.
Yeah.
We met freshman year in the dining halls, right?
I think so.
And I remember this one time where we were at Newell Hall. I'm not sure if you remember this, but I had just walked in and at some point I saw you come in and your backpack, there was like this backpack, I noticed it was just there, nobody was with it. And so you come back and you go to this backpack and you're sweating. And I look at you and I'm like, where did you just come from? And you're like, oh, I just wanted to take a break from studying. I'm like, where did you go? She said, I went on a run. So you went on a run to take a break from the library. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. Yeah, because I remember, because it was like freshman year, so I was also excited, like, oh, people studying with people, because that was a little bit new from when I was in high school and I was always busy with stuff, so I'd be studying on my own. And then also I remember I would used to do that, because especially when like great weather in the middle of the day, I'd be like, I have to do just like a small run, even though I did my run in the morning, just to get my body moving again and take a break from studying.
Yeah, at that point I was like, yeah, this girl's she's definitely a runner. So running is what you do most of the time, right?
Yeah, mostly running. Especially freshman year, I was doing a little bit more of the club tennis team here, because I did do tennis in high school. But I think I've transitioned more into running as I found that passion.
Okay. Can you talk to me about why you chose running and how you've grown with running?
So as I was actually recently reflecting on when I really started running, because I'd say that I started intensely running more towards the latter end of high school. Maybe it was during COVID or just in general, I was supplementing that with my training of tennis, because I used to do gymnastics for 11 years. And with that, you have no time for anything else, because I was doing 4-hour practices in middle school. But I think the first memory of me really running was I was at this summer camp at Wake Forest University, actually. So it was a college campus for 3 weeks. And 3 weeks without gymnastics seemed crazy to me at that time, because you don't even take a couple days off or you feel completely off. And someone I knew there was like, oh, I go for runs. So I was like, I'll go for runs. And I remember getting excited and going for runs. And then I didn't forget about it, but it was in the back of my mind with all the other busy stuff I was doing. And then when I transferred from gymnastics to tennis in high school, I had more time to start running and doing things like that. And I realized that I just love the feeling of it and how it can push myself. And I remember when I'd be at training for tennis sometimes, like taking a break, I hated taking breaks, like not moving, not doing something. I didn't like it. So then running, you're doing something the whole time, basically. Yeah. If you're doing intervals, maybe it's something different. But just that constant movement, I really loved. And then when I got to campus, I was exploring campus with running and signed up for my first race, which was a half marathon, which was, people were like, a half marathon and you've never raced. But eventually I did was able to like build up for that mileage because I just want to explore more of campus and I just keep doing longer and longer runs.
Was a half marathon around campus?
No, it was on the Hawthorne Trail.
Okay. So what did building up your mileage to run that half marathon look like?
At that point, I was doing everything solo. So I wouldn't say I knew much because I didn't really know anything about running besides the simple act of running. And so basically I'd run almost every day. And
how much per day?
When I built up to it, it was like my longest run went from I would do 5Ks every day to doing 5 miles one day and then 7 and then 10 and eventually like the 13. Okay. But then in between that, because I based it off my class schedule, so I had 8 a.m.s two times a week. So those I'd wake up early, do maybe 3 miles. Then the other day is usually around 4 to 6 miles. And then one day that was like a little bit longer to try to push my mileage and see where I could go.
So you had 8:30 a.m.s in the mornings for classes on...
Two times a week.
So what time do you usually wake up in the morning to run for that?
At that time, I was probably waking up around 5:30, 6 a.m. My schedule is a little bit different now because the team I train with practices really early. So for my speed workouts where we do it on the track or do intervals, twice a week I'd wake up around 4:10-ish. And then the other days, if I'm cross training or kind of running on my own, that's around 5:30.
Okay, sounds good. Wow. What can I ask what your dieting looked like back then? What were you eating? What foods were you eating to optimize your performance in running?
Yeah, so that was actually a big issue for me coming in to college because I have ulcerative colitis, which is a stomach disorder. And I was finding it really hard to find food that worked for me because I was on like the dining hall meal plan. And honestly, I felt like everyone looked at me so strangely because I would just get tons of oatmeal in the morning, like so many bowls of oatmeal, and then do some sort of like big salad because that's what I could eat that didn't bother me there. And I think I lived off of watermelon, which was not the best because I could tell that I wasn't feeling the best because every time I tried to get some of the food, like the more cooked foods that they made, it bothered my stomach. So I did talk to the UF staff because I said, I don't know, I think I have to go off of this because it's just not working for me. And that's when they started helping me out by preparing the meals, just doing like whatever they were doing that night, but without the oils and other things that I couldn't deal with at the time with my stomach because my stomach does go through phases.
Yeah.
So basically it was like getting that in that way.
So you had the staff preparing like special meals for you?
Yeah, it's like what they do for dietary restrictions if you have an allergy. But basically, if they were having like chicken, like it was like really basic stuff. Like I love tons of vegetables, like some sort of carb, like rice or potato. And they just made it without whatever oils they were using or just without like a heavy spicing or like mixing in a bunch of different ingredients. I just kept it plain and boiled vegetables, something like that, and just tossed it in the little container for me, which was really awesome for them because that's not what I was expecting. I was literally just asking, can I get off of this plan because I'm paying for it and I don't think I'm utilizing it the best. But
how much of a difference did you notice in your performance pre and post that diet intervention?
It's hard to say because I'm trying to remember when it started, probably like towards the end of the first semester.
Okay.
And then the second semester, I know it was really helpful because I would talk to the staff and it was great. And I'd tell them about my races. And so the night before my big race, I got this like huge sweet potato because I was like, I've been like researching and I'm supposed to be like carb loading.
Yeah.
So they did things like that for me. But then the second semester, my peroneal nerve became entrapped.
Okay.
So basically my foot became paralyzed and I wasn't training the same way I was because I was in a boot for a while. I had to have surgery. So it's been hard to have like consistency in the fact that I can really measure what inputs have really helped me. But for sure, it was nice to be able to like eat more foods besides watermelon and salads and chicken.
How much do you hydrate when you run?
Yeah, that's something I worked on a lot with my coach, because a lot of athletes, they want to be hydrating before their workouts, but my stomach really doesn't deal with that very well, like having any sort of liquids in it before I'm running, especially early in the morning. So I really have to load up on the liquids afterwards and get those electrolytes in, because I am sweating a ton. So I'd probably go through, I'm not sure if this is 12 or 16 ounce, but I'll probably go through around like two of those for a gym workout. Okay. And then I'll try to just be drinking throughout the day. So I haven't really like fully measured it, but definitely trying to get it in. And if I'm feeling like I am dehydrated, definitely towards the nighttime, I'll try to be drinking more. I drink a lot of like decaffeinated teas at night. So I can have that and just like a different way to get that hydration in.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when we were texting before, was it a week and a half ago?
Maybe.
About a week ago, we were texting prior to setting up the episode date, and I asked you what were the challenges that you were dealing with in your life now, and you had mentioned, as you previously mentioned, your ulcerative colitis, and the fact that you always get injuries. Can you talk to me more about what ulcerative colitis is, for those who don't know, and how that has impacted your journey in fitness?
Yeah, for sure. So ulcerative colitis is a chronic condition. It's inflammatory bowel disease, so it infects your intestines and everything like that. And it can manifest in a variety of ways. Usually it's some sort of like gastrointestinal problem, whether it's not being able to absorb nutrients from your food, or your intestinal lining gets really messed up in the fact that you're like internally bleeding from it. And that inflammation can spread. So it can spread to your joints, to different things, and really have a holistic effect on you. You get tired. Like, I've gotten really bad anemia and iron because I'm not able to absorb the nutrients, or from like the blood loss. I got diagnosed, I would say, in late middle school, but with the medicine, it was staying on track and it didn't really bother me. And then it was towards the end of high school where I really had a flare up, which is what they call when you have an increase in symptoms, even if you weren't necessarily experiencing them before. And they can be triggered by a lot of things. It can be stress, it can be like intense activity sometimes, or just some foods. You don't really know. It's really hard, because even with all the research they've done on it, they can't have a set cause of the disease or set way that you can like a certain diet, because every person's different who has it. So for me, the symptoms probably really progressed last year. It was getting worse and worse my first semester. And then when I studied abroad my second semester, I was completely wiped out, because I lost like half the amount of blood in my body at one point. So I had to get blood transfusions, iron transfusions, and it's been like a slow build back up from there.
Given the explanation, I can definitely see how that impacts fitness, because I know you, like, you're somebody who loves running, you're somebody who likes exercising. You said it yourself, even when you were doing tennis, you couldn't take breaks because you just wanted to keep on moving. That joy from physical exercise, that joy from that constant state of movement. So how have you been able to deal with that condition? How have you been able to handle the stress and the pain that comes with knowing that you're more susceptible to injuries and hardships when it comes to moving your body?
Yeah, that's really hard. I'm not sure how much my ulcerative colitis has caused my injuries per se. They're definitely related, because it's just like your whole body, it affects. Like, at some points, I was someone who really likes being strong and like with functional movement. I'm not a huge weightlifter, but doing the functional movement. And when I couldn't do push-ups because my elbows hurt too badly, like, it was just the worst. Or not being able to run, because that's really what I had to do at one point. I had to stop, and that's how I had to adapt, because I didn't realize how sick I was last spring semester. But through, eventually, I was in the hospital for a week in a different country. So
what country was it?
Ireland, because that's where I was studying abroad in.
Wow.
And eventually, when I came back, I said, yeah, I had to stop running, stop doing everything, really. And my doctor, I remember she looked at me, because I at that time was feeling like down on myself, like you should have tried harder to try to, you know, do this activity and try to keep pushing through, like even if it was hard. But I remember I, after not being able to run for months, I ran a mile and just collapsed in my room and fell asleep because I had no energy. And my doctor was like, if you really tried to push harder, you could have had a heart attack because I had like just the too low of blood volume.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to since then really realize that like taking a step back is okay. And like I have someone that doesn't have the same thing as me, but has something that's similar. And him telling me like, there's going to be days you feel great. There's going to be days that you don't. And you just have to adapt with that, which is something I've been trying to do, trying to sleep in more some days if I know I can do my workout later or if I'm really exhausted, modifying it. Because I wake up some mornings and I know I should be more alert. I know I should have more energy, but I just don't. And riding that wave and understanding that every day can look different. I don't have to be at the gym in the morning every day. I can reduce my stress and say, if I can get it in between classes, like go then. So I think that's something that I've been trying to do in the adaptations.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say I've been doing the best with that because I did get injured again. And I think that was from overdoing it, coming back into running last semester and just not listening to my body. So this injury that's really had me stop doing everything has allowed me to take a step back and reevaluate how I'm dealing with stuff.
Wow, that's quite a challenge. One thing I think about a lot is that I'm going to be getting older and my joints are not going to feel the same. My heart is not going to perform in the same way. My mental clarity is going to decline. My ability to do things that I'm able to do in my 20s is not going to have the same level of energy. All of these things are going to go down. And so one way I've tried to cherish these moments is just by pushing myself as hard as I could because I know these are the best years for me, basically. So seeing you and hearing you talk about the fact that you're dealing with that now, given that you have a chronic illness, it's almost reflective of what is to come for all of us, basically. But you're dealing with it earlier in your life. And it's surprising because I don't think anyone, given how young you are, I don't think anyone should be dealing with that. You see what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely something that you don't expect someone like your age to experience. And even me, like when I was diagnosed, I didn't really think it would affect me that much because at that time, once they diagnosed it, I was on a certain medicine and I felt fine. I was like, I have this thing, but it doesn't really affect me. So the fact that I have been like experiencing flare-ups, and I think that was something that I'm really having to deal with because like I said, I really discovered running my freshman year of high school where I like competitive running. And I found out that I am very talented, like very gifted. Like I remember people would tell me, oh, you were like sprinting. And I was like, oh, I wasn't sprinting. That was just like my run. And so or something like that. And being able to perform well when I did compete for the first time and feeling like I lost that opportunity because so many people that are great runners, they started earlier. And there's a lot of like soccer to running pipeline, at least starting in high school. And I'm like here in college, just discovering this thing that I finally feel really good at because my other sports, I don't feel like I had that natural talent or ability that I did with running.
Yeah.
And feeling like I missed that time and this is my peak time and I need to like get the most out of it. And then having injuries and setbacks, I feel like I'm losing that time in college where I'm in a unique environment where even if I'm not a runner for UF, I can do different college races or I can be around a lot of similar like-minded peers who are also really into running.
Yeah.
So it's hard to feel like I'm missing that like prime of my life.
It almost feels like you're trying to fly, but you have a weight holding you down.
Yeah, for sure. And it's you have a challenge and a setback and everyone says, oh, you're stronger once you hit a setback and like you recover from it. But when you have one after another, it can definitely be hard to still have that mentality and see that like when other people are getting better and then you have another injury or like you have another worry and you're like, these things just aren't aligning. You start to wonder like what you did wrong or like what you have to change to really do what you want to do in that like portion of your life. Positive things can come out of it and you can really discover other things or reevaluate how you're doing things. And I think one of the things that I realized recently is I'd always be the hardest worker. Like even in gymnastics, I would be the hardest worker on the team. My coach would be like, oh, look how hard Tatiana's working. But at the same time, it was like I was less skilled. So it was like, if Tatiana could do it, you guys can do it too. Look, she was able to get this skill. You guys should be able to because she's way less talented. Like, he didn't say it like that, but it was like that mentality. So I think I've learned that just doing the hard work and being a hard worker that's dedicated to something, even if you don't get the result that you expect to get or you want to get, that doesn't mean that it's all a waste, because part of that work is not the success I get, but the process of being that type of person who does work hard.
You said such a reality for somebody could bring about new experiences and could open doors for new things. Can you say some of the new things that you may have discovered?
Yeah, for sure. I think with my injuries, it's something that I've dealt with. I wasn't super injured in high school, but I did dislocate both my knees in middle school doing gymnastics. And with that injury, I had fear of returning and things like that. And that's when I had this idea for a entrepreneurial idea that I would like to pursue in the future. And I think that idea has been like in my mind. I've done different competitions at UF with it. Mm-hmm. And working through it, I realized that's what I want to pursue, because going into college, I didn't realize I wanted to pursue something in business. Mm-hmm. And that's also something I got, because both years that I was very injured, say freshman year, spring, and I was injured or sick, but I was on campus. And then this semester, I've really been able to do the business ethics case team, mm-hmm. really, really dedicating a lot of time to it, which has made me realize that I do want to be in business. And I do think I can make a positive change through that avenue. I think that's been something that's really good that I've discovered when I haven't been solely focused on the athletic portion.
Yeah. What does your future in business look like?
I'm not exactly sure yet. So this semester, I'm starting the Master of Science in Management. It's a combined degree program. Yeah. So I'm still an undergraduate until next fall. And then next spring and summer, I'll be finishing up my master's classes. And I think with that, I'm not exactly looking to be a manager, which is in the name, but it allows you to get exposure to every single facet of business, like accounting, finance, marketing. And I think it will help me be overall a strong business person. And then I do want to work with a company I have that are really involved in running and working on product development and market analysis. So combining like financial aspects of what the market is looking for, what's feasible with what consumers need and want, and like bringing in my own innovation and creativity into it. And then eventually I would love to have my own company that does like the devices that I've had in my head kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then also do the model where a lot of like athletic brands that are clothing based,
okay,
do sponsorships, like Nike sponsors,
yeah,
Puma sponsors, Adidas sponsors. And they have, sometimes they have a whole facility, especially Nike, a whole facility where they can have their athletes train. And I would love to create a facility like that where it would be like developing the products and then testing the products, yeah, on the athletes who are right there working out on the track, working out in the gyms, and they can really integrate the technology that like I'm seeing into their lives.
Yes. You said you had a couple of devices in your head.
Yeah, like one mainly. I've been told by people that are helping me, like, you're not supposed to say everything, but basically it's just like a different device that would help gauge where you're at in the recovery process, mm-hmm, and kind of space it out more, because you're with a doctor and they see you maybe 6 weeks after. Mm-hmm. And a lot of healing can happen in that 6 weeks.
Yes.
So it's like facilitating different braces and things that you would already be using to make you feel confident in how much you're using the limb, mm-hmm, or where it's at. And then also expanding it to like injury prevention, because I think sometimes I get injuries because I have pain somewhere, mm-hmm, and I don't necessarily listen to that pain, and I'm trying to compensate for it without realizing it. And then that can cause compensation patterns, which lead to compensation injuries.
Okay.
Say if your right leg's hurting and you don't realize it, but when you're running, you suddenly start to rely more on your left leg.
Yeah.
And that puts you at an imbalance. So something, yes, that can detect those things before it happens would be something that I would ideally love to be able to work on, so that you can stop injuries before they start.
So almost like a real-time data collection on the recovery of the muscle.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways you can do it, whether you're looking at gait patterns, about muscle load, like you can see like differences and stuff like that. And I think it's also important to have the protocol to help fix those imbalances, because sometimes the imbalances are a strength imbalance.
Yes.
Sometimes it is you have an injury somewhere, or you're recovering from an injury somewhere, and you're worried about using that limb. And even if you don't realize it, it's in your head, and psychologically that does affect how you run or how you do really a lot of different sports. Mm-hmm. So basically it's allowing it to catch it before it happens. Like I said, if it's muscle, then you can say, okay, these are good exercises you can do on to strengthen that. Or if it's a certain movement pattern, pattern, you can break up that movement pattern into smaller steps and do it so that your body feels how it's supposed to feel. And eventually that muscle memory will then transfer to whatever sport or activity you're doing.
I see. Wearables, and you've heard of Whoop, right? And
yes.
Apple Watch. But I talk about a bunch of these wearables with my friends, and some of them have mentioned to me, especially Whoop. You've heard of the Whoop recovery score, right?
Yes.
Like when it tells you the percentage of how much more you need to recover or how much you have recovered. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them think that they don't want to wear the wearables because if they wake up in the morning, for example, and Whoop says you need 50% more rest, they actually believe that they haven't rested enough. And so that trickles into how they perform during the day, as opposed to if they woke up and they didn't have anything telling them that, and they actually believe they had rested enough and they perform as they used to on every other day. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. If I'm looking at my watch now, it says 69 hours of recovery and yeah. I will be working out tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to use those metrics. Like, I think different people use it different ways. I think elite athletes are really able to calibrate it to themselves and have a lot of different metrics that we might not necessarily have access to that help them see that if it's saying that, then yes, you need to take a step back. But other times it can just like help inform your decisions. So I think that psychologically, you don't want to have that like fear, like, oh, I'm not fully recovered, then something might happen. But just if you see that, kind of be more in tune with your body, like, how did I sleep? Did that feel good? Or am I more tired this morning? And maybe like adjust based on that. Like, I know sometimes the idea of an easy run for a runner is hard because you really should be running slower than you do. But using that to gauge, okay, you can also do little experiments. If I run at this pace for my easy run or I have this certain feeling when I run and I'm seeing this recovery difference, then maybe that's a way to help it. But you don't want to necessarily, oh, if it says you need this much time to recover, like, you know, don't work out because if you feel fine.
Yeah.
I think it's like a balance between using the information to your benefit, but not letting like the information rule your life, which I think is not just only for wearables, but anything in
anything.
Your life.
Yes. That's a very good point, because I think a lot of people, when they approach fitness, it's like, okay, this is the routine, I must do it. But it's rather more experimental. It's more tailored. For example, medicine is tailored to the individual, right? If you have a certain condition, there's a certain treatment plan that is prescribed for you to follow. I think the same thing with exercise. But when you talk about the wearables and the routines that you need to do, how much strain you're putting on your body and what you need to do to strengthen your muscles and your limbs and all these different things, it's more of an experimental and tailored approach to the individual. Do you ever see a future where every athlete has a wearable?
I think a lot of people have wearables now. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot more incorporated. I think at the elite level, a lot of athletes are already using, say, their Garmin watch or their Coros watch to gauge recovery. Or even with like heart rate monitors, it's not necessarily for recovery, but it helps keep you in the right zone, which I think stuff like that is very beneficial, because we know that we've done scientific research that when you're in certain heart rate zones, certain adaptations are happening and you can't necessarily feel in your body the difference between a certain amount of beats per minute and just like staying in those zones. So I think those will definitely expand. And I think the recovery ones will, especially as the data behind them gets better, because even now they're not perfect and there's a lot of things, but the more research that's been going into them, the better that they can make the wearables to really help you be more in tune with your body. Because I think like elite athletes or even college athletes or high level, just recreational athletes, they'll want to push their bodies sometimes. Yeah. And it's hard to tell the difference between when you're pushing it too hard and not enough. And especially with running, you're like always on that line of like, where am I?
Yeah. In terms of zones.
Yeah. And just in general, like, I know it's helpful when my coach does an interval workout and you're tired. And if I'm doing it on the arc trainer, you don't necessarily want to be pushing the whole time. But having that in your head, like someone else telling you, is always sometimes helpful. But at the same time, my coach is big on, tell me how you're feeling, how different things are going, so I can adapt for you. And I think it's having that balance of, you have accountability. Like, you know that when you're saying you don't feel good, it's not because you don't want to do it or you're just trying to not keep with your discipline, but just really understanding the difference between when you don't want to do it or you're tired or you really have that fatigue that needs to take a step back, which I think sometimes the wearables will really help find the line.
Yes. On my previous episodes, I've asked my guests on some advice they could give to people to start going to the gym or to start becoming more fit. But the question I want to ask you is, what advice would you give to people who have already been in the gym and have already been experienced athletes or are still working towards becoming better athletes, what advice do you have to give to them in terms of optimizing their performance and becoming better overall?
Yeah, I think it really, you have to look at what your goals are. Like, if your goals are purely performance-based, then you can get people that know that specific skill, whether it's weightlifting, whether it's running, whether it's tennis or soccer, that can really help you hone in on those skills. But if you're not looking for a specific performance outcome, you're looking for, say, you just want more enjoyment, you want to have more movement in your life, then I would encourage you to branch out and try different things, like whether it's doing yoga, doing Pilates, or going to some sort of intramural sport that you really don't know much about, but you want to try it out. I think that's why college is so amazing, because you have all these opportunities to go into these groups and meet new people that really get you excited about doing a sport or doing a different activity. And I know I've heard people say it before, but if you don't like it, don't do it. I think if you have a certain goal, like one, if you have a performance goal, but you don't like the process, then you might have to reevaluate why you have that performance goal or what way you can make that performance goal and reach it differently.
Yes.
And I think if it's more of just having movement and being active, there's so many ways, like on a campus or even in a different environment. Like my friend who lives in New York City, she's telling me that she's joining a kickball league over the summer. And it's just something like fun that she doesn't normally do, but a way to get movement in her life and meet new people and really share that bond over like a connection where you're not just like sitting doing nothing, but you're doing something that's like entertaining both your body and your mind.
I think a lot of people need to take up on that advice, because it gets to a point where you've been doing the same thing over for many years and you have the same routines and you just have this mentality of push. But sometimes you have to listen to your body, exactly the field in which you plan on working on, performative sports, where you're coming up with interventions to help people listen to their bodies more. So I think that aspect is something that a lot of people need to take into consideration. What is one message that you want to share with the world?
That's a good question. It's also a hard question, because I think there's a lot of different messages, and some people are going to hear the same message but in a different way, and it might impact them differently. But I think with me, it's that your internal struggles, whatever they are, whether they're in private, whether they're in public, they are valid. And you just have to keep working, not to just validate your actions for someone else, but to really be on the path that you want to be. Because I know I've had times when, you know, I've been injured so often. I have a friend that's a runner or someone I know, and I feel like I have to explain to them my whole what's going on with my injury and this and that to validate the fact that I'm not running, or just to be like, I'm still a runner, or I'm still doing this. It's just that I'm injured right now, or kind of explain myself. And I would just say, don't waste time explaining yourself to anyone or trying to do something because of how it looks on the outside. Just know your path. And if you need help with something, reach out to people to figure out really what are your goals and the best way to get there.
Beautifully said.
Thank you.
I think many people will listen to this and definitely heed a lot of valuable insights from this. I think you're somebody that a lot of people can take a lot of different things from. The challenge that you're dealing with, it's not common. And the person that you are today is something that I think you'll be proud of in the future. And like I said earlier in the episode, somebody could look back on this and be like, wow, like this person that I'm looking at, they had to go through this to become who they currently are. I thank you again for doing this. This has been really awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I think sometimes you don't get to reflect enough and reflect out loud because you don't want to share your issues with other people. I know I don't, because I'm a very positive person on others' viewpoint, but some people close to me, like my parents or me, I know how negative I can get. So sometimes just like talking it out does help. And I think you shouldn't be afraid of sharing your issues with people that are close to you.